want to speak about Purim, the Megillah, the Purim story. Yonah the Yoima, it's natural to speak about Purim. The way we normally all know the story so well is that, Herr Avram, we all know the story of Purim, and that is that the Jews of Persia, of Shushan, were in trouble because there was a Russian named Haman, and Ahasuerus also, and came Mordechai and Esther, and they, with Siyata Dishmaya, saved the situation, they saved the matzav, and La Yehudim Haisa Oiru V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Kar Kein Tia Lano, we should all have that simcha. I'd like to share with you, some of which you may know, some of which you probably don't know, is that's just a small piece in the middle of the story of Purim. And unless one really understands the Arum and Arum, the whole background of the story, it's impossible to understand the significance of the story. It seems like, you know, just random, almost a random story of anti-Semitism and how we were saved from anti-Semitism. One has to understand the whole picture here. And it's a whole different picture of Purim, which I'd like to present to you. What's important here is to understand the Golus, the Golus of Klal Yisrael during that time. The Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, which was built by Shlomo HaMelech, was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babel, but more than being the king, the Babylonian king, like you would be today, the king of Iraq, which is Babel, he was Malach Bekipa. He was the king of the whole world. He was the most powerful person in the world at that time. And any resistance at all from any place, he would try to squash. And anybody that wasn't an ally to him with his final wars against Egypt, Babel's here, Egypt is down here. Any wars that would get in his way, or any nation that would get in his way, he would squash. And that was the Nebuchadnezzar's takeover of the world. I mention this often, but it's important to know, important to understand that the headquarters of Nebuchadnezzar was in Babel in Iraq. His takeover was the entire world. His main opponent at the time of history we're talking about was Egypt and a little bit Persia, but mostly Egypt. And we have in Tanakh, at the end of Sefer Melachim, how Nebuchadnezzar wanted to wage war with Egypt, and the only way he could get to Egypt was through Eretz Yisrael, through Israel. So the only way Egypt could get to Babel to wage a war was through Israel. So Israel was famed to be called the land bridge. It was the land bridge that went from top to bottom. And Israel became, it was like that one seat in the Knesset or something. It became that one piece, that one, it's a tiny little Eretz Yisrael, which became the political center of the war, world war, whatever that was at that time, pre-World War One, the biggest world war probably in history in a certain way, takeover of the entire world. All depends on this little Israel with a relatively small population in Eretz Yisrael. And there was, Israel had kings. We had kings. We had Yehonyahu, Tzidkiyahu. We had kings, Yoshiyahu, mostly Yoshiyahu at that time. Since the time of Menashe, we had kings. And the kings were feeling that we should side with Egypt, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who lived in that time, felt that we should side politically. He was making a political statement. We should side with Babel. Babel, not because he loved Babel in any way, but because he was the strong. They were the stronger, and they were the winner. And for the survival of Eretz Yisrael, we should side with Babel. This became a big machloikus. Besides, for that, on a spiritual level, Klal Yisrael was falling and falling and falling into Avodah Zarah. So we weren't in good shape spiritually, and we were in the middle of things physically. That was the situation. And finally, as you know, Yirmiyahu prophesied, said a nevuah about the imminent chorban that's going to be, that being that we're not doing the Ratzon Hashem and we're not being smart, two things. Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed, he said. Yerushalayim will be destroyed. The people will go into Golos. I mean, just try to imagine people going into Golos means everybody here, like now, would have to leave their homes, just leave it behind, and find a place to live. The only place that we could go was Iraq, but that was under slave conditions. It was a terrible place to be. He predicted this. He prophesied, had a nevuah, who was menava on this Golos, and on the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, that the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. That was the nevuah of Yirmiyahu. People did not take it well. There was attempts at his life because by the Jewish community, because the only one who liked Yirmiyahu was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saw him as an ally. Of course, he wasn't an ally to Nebuchadnezzar, but in fact, Nebuchadnezzar didn't kill him. He didn't even exile him. He went himself eventually to Mitzrayim, and unclear what the end of... So we're talking about now a story, the beginning of the story that we need to know. The beginning of the Purim story was 2,440 years ago, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, 2,440. I'm going to work in Hebrew years because it's MS, and it's also easier to count. Instead of counting in minus, it's easier to count. And I just want to give the 1 second preface, and that is that it's very, very unclear. These years from Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel through what we'll soon see is the Purim story, through Ezra and Nehemiah and bringing Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, very unclear how long was an emperor. Sometimes the Gemara says in Megillah, they would say he was an emperor for a year, really means a half a year. Mishum Kvaidoi Shel HaMelech, they would say a year. So we don't know, and there's a lot of discussion about it, but it's not our discussion. That's not what I want to discuss. That's a complicated, very unentertaining topic as to how the years of the Persian years work. But what we do know for sure is that in years of creation, Jewish years, the Chorban Beis HaMikdash that Yirmiyahu prophesied about was in 3,338, famously or infamously known as Shlach, just like Parsha Shlach, which caused the Chorban to begin with, the Meraglim caused the Chorban to begin with, and the year Shlach, let's call it 3,338, and the year 338 was the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash, no Machlokes that I know of. That's an important date, 3,338. But that wasn't the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar. That was according to the end of Nebuchadnezzar. The beginning of Nebuchadnezzar had a number of tkufas. Before 3,338, 19 years earlier, was when the tsaris really began, in the year Shin Yod Tes. By the way, on the last page of these timelines are the dates. I really urge you to absorb this because it's not the kind of thing that I don't remember. Probably you won't remember it either. It's written. So Shin Yud Tes, which was 19 years before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, was the Golus, which is called the Golus of Yechaniahu, who was the king of Eretz Yisrael. And in that gullus, that was a terrible gullus for the Jewish people, meaning Nebuchadnezzar, just to understand politically, as far as I understand, politically, eventually he killed probably a million Jews. But his strategy was to be mefazer, just to exile the Jews. And by exiling the Jews, they wouldn't have the power. And who did he exile specifically? The gedolim of the Jews, the kings, the gedolim, the tzaddikim, that's who he exiled. And that was the exile, 2019, of Daniel, the Navi Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The Megillah Esther tells us Mordechai, Asher Haglam, Yerushalayim, right? He was Nigla from Yerushalayim during that original Golus, if you will, the first Golus of 3,319. That's So 319, the Tzaris began. 338 was the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In between those times, in 3321, was the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. So we have three important dates to remember. That's it. I'm not a big date guy. I'm not a big chronology, but there's three important dates that every Jew has to know, and I'll show you how important this is. But the Tzaris began, the Gullus began in 3319, the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, which shook everybody up. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be Nechrab, 3319, and in 3321, and in 3338 was the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and that was basically the end of Yerushalayim. It was a long time. Here was the good news. Everything was bad for the Jewish people. We have the privilege of being in Eretz Yisrael, and we should be here forever, Mirtz Hashem, with our children, our grandchildren, the Gula, and the Mashiach. But at the same time, we're in Eretz Yisrael. We can just try to imagine what it would be to have a Golus of Nebuchadnezzar. Thank God now, the main powers of the world are relatively nice to us, which is very interesting. I just throw that out there as... How history repeats itself, but just imagine there would be the different presidents and prime ministers of the world would be against us, babish against us. That was Nebuchadnezzar. The good news was that Yirmiyahu said, "This is the first quote." V'haisa kol ha'aretz hazayis l'charba l'shama. He said, and what it means, he said that he walked the streets. And he said this Nevuah. Plus, he had a few people tell me to him that were saying this Nevuah. Chazal say that in the Churban was the Binyan. Because he said, yes, you're going to go into Golos. Yes, there's going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yes, people are even going to get killed. And it's going to be terrible. We're going to die al Nareis Bavel. It's going to be a very, very terrible, terrible time. It's going to be 70 years. Now, that wasn't always personally good news if you were 60 years old at the time. But it did mean, at least for the sake of the Jewish people, that this is not a permanent golus. It's a 70-year situation. Why 70 years? Chazal have all kinds of drushes, but Yirmiyahu called it. He's the one who called the Churban. He's the one who called the Geula. And he said the Geula will take place in 70 years. Ha'pesha Osir, ha'pesha Hitter. And it's amazing that although he had so much resistance from Klal Yisrael, what he said is Nevuah, that there's going to be a Churban. Once there was a Churban, he had 100% nemanus. Whoa, Yirmiyahu was correct. And they hung on to this, his words of that it's a 70 year. He's the one who said there's going to be a Churban. He's the one who said it's going to be 70 years. They hung on to this idea of 70 years with all of their life, and they lived accordingly, and everything was all about the 70 years Golos that was going to take place with Bavel, and then we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what it is here. Thank you. That's exactly the question. You have to realize, though, how careful you have to be. Because if you count wrong, right? If you count wrong, which we've been doing for 2,000 years now, if you count wrong and you come out with, okay, this is the year, today is the day of Mashiach, and then when Mashiach doesn't come, you get some great disappointment. So only Gedolim and Gedolei Hador should be allowed to say that this is the time of the Geula, because it can cause great stress, which we're going to...
In 40 days.
Something similar happened at Har Sinai. Do you know, I was just reading about this a couple of weeks ago, that in the time of Shabtai Tzvi, fast forward in history, the false Mashiach, I don't know how many gematrias and how many psukim and how many ramazim that were brought that he's the Mashiach. His name is the Mashiach name. The Shabtai was a star that was the Mashiach. And the year was correct. Everything was correct except for it wasn't correct. He wasn't Mashiach. So you have to watch these false messiahs. Also in the time of Christianity, with the birth of Christianity, it was all a story about a false Mashiach. So you have to be careful. What happens? Shin Pei Tes, which would have been 70 years from the beginning of the Tsarist of Nebuchadnezzar. You keep track of the times with your timeline. Shin Pei Tes, 3089. Nebuchadnezzar died. Belshazzar, his son, and some say his grandson, it's not clear in the Pesukim, became the Melech Bavel. We don't know Belshazzar to be the same as Nebuchadnezzar in terms of, the beast. Wasn't the beast, but he was a Russia. Belshazzar was a Russia by all definitions. He just wasn't as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar. But Belshazzar made a cheshbon. And he made a cheshbon in the year Shin Pei Tes, 389, that, 70 years passed, and there was no geula for Klal Yisrael. We won. Now, you have to be amazed, and I don't know the whole depth of it, why they cared so much about the geulas Yisrael. But the simple shot is, that these people, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and we'll see, their interest was, all the way to the Romans really, their interest was taking over the world. Whether it's the Babylonians, whether it was the Persians, whether it was the Greeks, whether it was the Romans, they're talking taking over the world. Very similar to what communism, their idea wasn't just, okay, well, let's make our country like Israel. Israel, let's make our country socialist or democratic. I don't think that there's this idea of, empire building where we're interested in, where we care what everybody else is. Figure out what's the best way to govern. That wasn't the case there. The case with Nebuchadnezzar, Malach Bekipa. So the fact that there was just a few pockets of resistance, one of the big ones was Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews don't talk about like having a country. They talk about a Beis HaMikdash, and they talk about a Melech. A Melech, that's not appointed by me. How could there be a Melech? And they talk about Melech Mashiach, which means that he's going to take over me. So not only is it just going to be a resistance, and they were worried about this, particularly because of Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu was like central, and then after him Daniel, central to the whole Pachad HaGoyim, because since Yirmiyahu said there was a Chorban, and there was a Chorban, and Yirmiyahu said that 70 years is going to be a Geula, they were convinced that Yirmiyahu was correct. So, Belshazzar, Melech Bavel, waits 70 years. He's holding his breath for the couple of years that he was the Melech. And at the end of the 70 years, says in the Sefer Daniel, he made a party, Mishta. Very similar, if not exactly similar, to everything you know about the party about Achashverosh, Sudas Achashverosh Bizmanoi, which was more than just good food. He made a Suda, and he made a Suda for everyone. And it says Mefurish in Tanakh, I'm not saying Chazal or anything, it isn't Mefurish in Tanakh. The way he celebrated this fantastic Suda of the Gemar of the Shivim Shana is he took out all of the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash and he brought it to the table. The Kalim that he had let's make it clear over here. He didn't have the Aron Kodesh, according to Chazal, because Yoshio took the Aron Kodesh and buried it in Yerushalayim, and that's where it is till today. I'm not sure about the menorah at that time, but he had many, many kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, v'chelim mikelim shoinim, like different types of kelim. He put them on the table and with a total act of chutzpah and sacrilege, fed off it, used it as serving trays, kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, kodesh kadashim. What was the nekuda of taking the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, dafka? It wasn't just like, the nice kelim, like let's take out the fine china. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash because the kelim, by taking that out, he was able to demonstrate that, look how nothing happens. Like, in other words, there is no geula for Klal Yisrael. He didn't take them out for breakfast every morning. He was worried about the nevuah of Yirmiyahu. But at 70 years, he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and that was his statement, his rebellion. That was the kelim of kelim shayim. Says the Navi, the stories in the Navi. Look at the third source, Daniel Hay. Now, this is in English because it's very difficult to understand. what happened here. But the story is, right? What happened was that Belshazzar at the Suda that he made with thousands of people, apparently, it was like a Groysa Chasana. So at this Suda, he with the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, all of a sudden there was a hand from Shemayim that wrote on the wall. This was the second writing on the wall that took place in history. First time Yirmiyahu, the second time here, the writing on the wall. The writing on the wall, you can just imagine, the writing on the wall was not understanding. If you look here in the third source in Pasuk Chafei, this is what it said. Udenok Savadi Rishim. This is what was written. Mene, Mene, Tikel, Ufarsin. Mene, Mene, Tikel, Ufarsin. Now look at the English 25. This is the writing that is inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ufarsin. See that? Meaning, Belshazzar and the crowd assembled had no idea what it meant. Not only that, the Jews had no idea what it meant. Nobody knew what it meant. But what does it mean? So they called in quickly, emergency call to Daniel, Hanavi, and Daniel, what does this mean? And Daniel interpreted the nevuah, the writing on the wall. With his nevuah, he interpreted what it means. Mene, Mene, he explains it over here. Let's do it in English for a second. This is its meaning. Mene means Russian counting. Hashem has numbered the days of your kingdom. In other words, the writing told Belshazzar, the days of number of your kingdom brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Hashem judged you. Peres means paras, like a prusa, right? Your kingdom has been divided and been given to the Persians. And that very night, Belshazzar was killed. So here's what happened. Belshazzar celebrating 70 years. Problem was, he made a mistake. Because he counted 70 years from the Golos of Yoyachon, from Hanania, Mishael, Azariah, from the beginning of the Tsars. It wasn't 70 years, it was 50. It was less than 70 years. So Mitzad Echad, there was no Geula. Mitzad Sheni, he made a mistake because he had no right to celebrate. I mean, he would never have a right, but it'll never happen. That he'd celebrate with the Kehillah Beis HaMikdash. He made a mistake, and because, the way Chazal add on to the Psukim here, because he celebrated with the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, he was Chayav Misa. And because he was a king and he was Malach B'Kippah, Hashem gave him the kavod of writing it on the wall for him, read the big screen. And what it said on the wall was, you are going to die for this, because whoever uses the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash will die. And we see it over and over again in history, by the way. Whoever uses the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash will die. And your Malchus will, not just you'll die, but your whole Malchus will go Paras, Paras, it'll go to the Persians. And Bo Balaila, Koresh, who was the king of Persia and was rebellious to the king of Bavel, bombarded the party. What's the word? Crashed. Right. We're here. They killed Belshazzar dead. And it created such an enormous political shakeup that Koresh became the Melech of the world. The Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire fell at that moment. And he died, but don't forget there's two dinim here. One din is that he died because he died. Good news. He died because he used the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Another thing was there was no Geula. So, good news, bad news. How do we know we're better off with the Persians than we are with the Babylonians? What we do see, or this was, I guess, some type of a kind of a chizuk for Klal Yisrael, that the story of the Kalim, the story of the writing on the wall, the story of the takeover, Bo Balaila, Chazal say, but Shabashim from the Psukim, one right after the other. The next thing that happens is Koresh crashes the party, or his army crashes the party and takes over, and everybody became a Persian. As it becomes a Persian, Koresh, we're getting closer to the Purim story, because now we're talking about Persians, not Babylonians. Everybody with me so far? Now, So we get into the Persian story, Koresh. So if you read here, just turn over your page for a second. Book of Ezra starts off, Sefer Ezra, which is the Sefer, this is a lot of confusion around this, so hear me carefully. The Sefer Ezra, which talks about the return from Galus, that's what the Sefer is about. Sefer Ezra is about how Ezra led the return from Galus. Not so Pashut, because here's how it starts. Bishnas Achas L'Koresh Melech Paras, which was Shin Peites, in this year of Koresh, look what happens. Dvar Hashem, Lichlois, Dvar Hashem Mipi Yirmiyahu, which was the end of the time that Yirmiyahu spoke about, the 70 years, or so they thought. By the way, it wasn't just Belshazzar that made a mistake. Daniel made a mistake. Chazal point out that Daniel made a mistake, because if you look, let me just go back to this for a second. If you look at the Pesukim of Daniel, he says, Binoisi Basvarim, he says, Mavurish, that I looked into the Svarim. He was a Talmud of Yirmiyahu. I know what Yirmiyahu said. I'm telling you, we're in the time of Geula now. Belshazzar had it wrong. But who's got it right? Koresh has it right. And Koresh comes along. Imagine this happening today, and it's so easy to imagine because it happens today. Bishnas Achas L'Koresh Melech Paras L'Chloish Dvar Hashem Mipi Yirmiyahu, where Chazal say he thought was the end of the 70 years that Yirmiyahu spoke about. Heyir Hashem Mizrach Koresh Melech Paras. Koresh has a nevuah. The goy. Koresh. Koresh has the Dvar Hashem, comes to him. He has some type of a vision from Hashem, and what was it? Yaver kol b'chol malchusay, and he put out an edict in the entire malchus paras, which meant the world, the whole world. Begam b'michtav, and he wrote it. Lamor, and this is what he said: Ko Omar Koresh Melach Paras. This is what Koresh Melach Paras says: Kol mamlechos ha'aretz nasan li Hashem elikei hashemayim. God has given me the entire world. I am the king of the world. V'hu pakad olai, and he commands me, livnois loy bayis bi Yerushalayim. Imagine, Koresh comes along. I'm the king of the world. I'm going to go against Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed Yerushalayim. I'm going to make Jerusalem the capital. What? Yeah. Move the embassy, for sure. It is for sure the case. Why? Because he gives the Hakdama. I'm the king of the world. And he said, build me a house in Yerushalayim. How did he see it? Leave the Israelite bias for Yerushalayim, Asher b'Yehuda. Mi b'chem b'chol amo ye'elekav imoy v'yal Yerushalayim, Asher b'Yehuda. If you're Jewish, go to Yerushalayim now. The gates are open. The gates are open here. The gates are open there. Let's rebuild Yerushalayim. Vayivin Aspace Hashem, Vayal Yerushalayim Hashem Yehuda, Vayivin Aspace Hashem, let all the Jews come and build the house of Hashem Elikei Yisrael, Hu Halekim Hashem Yerushalayim. Hashem, who is the God? What sweet words to hear from the king of the world. The problem was, and this is what people get to read the first part of this because it's in Hebrew. Afterwards, it switches to Aramaic, so we lose a little bit of concentration. There was a return to Yerushalayim from Bavel and from those Jews that were in Persia. And if you look here, you have it here, I don't know, in Beis, Perek Beis, Eile B'dein HaMedinois HaOile Mishvi HaGoyla Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar, Ezra Beis. Take a look at the people that came back. This is the names of the people that came back from Golos of Nebuchadnezzar to Yerushalayim. Beautiful, beautiful. V'yashuv li Yerushalayim, v'yehudi ish li yiroi, asher bolim zru bavel, and they came, zru bavel, like zru, mi bavel. Yeshua was one name, Nehemiah is a name that we know, Sroya, Realia, Mordechai Bilshan. Mordechai Bilshan, Chazal say, was Mordechai ha-Yehudi. Mordechai was in Golos, Asher Haglami Rushalayim Bimehanyo. He went out into Golos, and when Koresh gave the call, Jews come back, Mordechai, who was a tzaddik, Mordechai a tzaddik, he ran back to Yerushalayim, was allowed to go back in Yerushalayim, and according to the Megillah Starim, he supervised, Megillah Starim is Chazal on Megillah, he supervised what would be the thoughts and the layout for the new Binyan Habayis Shebi Yerushalayim. They took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kalim that were left in Eretz Yisrael. This is not the Kalim that Belshazzar had. It's not the Kalim that were in Persia. But there were still Kalim, basically the cheap Kalim. It wasn't the fancy stuff. But he gave it to them, and they actually, according to Chazal, in the time of Mordechai, started bringing Karbonos on the Har Habayis. So there was no Beis HaMikdash. Let's understand the situation. Didn't get there. There was no Beis HaMikdash, but there was Avoda. They went to the Har Habayis because Koresh said they can. They went to the Har Habayis. They brought the Het Kalim at a Beis HaMikdash, and a lot of Jews returned, and they were bringing Karbanos. Almost there. Way before the Purim story. A few years. Right. This was the first Koresh. Well, it was Koresh. It was Koresh. Koresh died. Yeah, you're thinking Dariavish. Koresh died. Dariavish won. There's two Dariavishes. Darius won, Darius two. Now we're talking about Dariavish one, took over. And then he died. And it says here, Achashverosh became the king of the world. Most of the world, 127 countries, that's a lot of countries. He was the king of the world. He was the most powerful man in the world. So it was Koresh, king one of Persia, Dariavesh, king two of Persia, Achashverosh. Achashverosh came along and he said, Achashverosh came along and he said, what do you mean you're building a Beis HaMikdash? I'm the king here. I'm married to Vashti, who was a great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, a granddaughter of Belshazzar. Vashti says, a little kavod for the Saba here. You can't let the Jews build the Beis HaMikdash. And Achashverosh immediately stopped it. What happened? It was a completely false hope. You can imagine the disappointment of Klal Yisrael. Mordechai was there. Everybody was there. It was a whole thing. Har Habayis, beautiful. Everybody's bringing karbonos. They brought a carbon tamid, the Gemara says. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time for Klal Yisrael. It looked like the geula was happening. It looked like the 70 years. And that was, by the way, exactly 70 years from the time that Yirmiyahu said his nevuah. That's when that took place. So keep track with my two ends of the timeline. Vayehi b'meach Achashverosh. So says Chazal, Rashi, Vayehi ein Vayehi alaloshin sar. We went from a happy time to a very sad time, and here's where the Purim story begins. There's no understanding of the Purim story until you understand most of the story, which took place before the Purim story. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh. Amru kulam vai. We thought Mashiach was here. We thought the Gula came. We were returning to Eretz Yisrael. Mordechai and the rest of the Jews that were still alive were sent to Persia. So he had a short stint in Yerushalayim building the Beis HaMikdash. Now he's sent into Golus, Nachamo, into Golus. And the Sanhedrin was Nigla. The whole Sanhedrin went, moved back to Yerushalayim. Everything was happening. And then moved back to Shushan, and Shushan became the Jewish place of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish place of Mordechai. Mordechai was married to Esther. and that's what was going on in Achashverosh. Chazal say, who Achashverosh? There was an Achashverosh two generations earlier, who he was named after, not important for this moment, but Rashi says on the first Achashverosh that that's not the Achashverosh of the Megillus Esther. Who Achashverosh? This is this Achashverosh. Who Berishai Mitchilosei Vad Soifei? That's what the Gemara says in Megillah. He was a Rasha. Don't get any ideas that he was a nice guy. He was a Rasha from beginning to end. All he wanted to do, first of all, so there was two factors here, two factors. One was, his wife, Vashti. Vashti is saying, don't let the Jews build the Beis HaMikdash. He stopped it for his wife. It was her fault. Second thing that was happening was he was threatened by the Malchus Yisrael. Because as we know, he was an insecure king. You look after the whole Purim story, the very last couple of psukim of the Megillas Esther, Achashverosh hitol mas, charged a tax. Okay, sure. Taxes, and everybody says, boo. You know, he was trying to regain his power by taxing the people. Hu Achashverosh, he was the one, the second factor was insecurity, and then came a third factor, which was Haman. Haman was from Amalek, this week's Amalek. A third thing, don't just stop the Jews from building the Beis HaMikdash, don't just make a gullus, kill them all. Kill the Jews. He was just no politics here, just hated Jews. He was an anti-Semite. I was trying to look into last night, why did Haman kill Vashti? The third are on the same team. So I finally found in the a quote from the Medrash from the Targum Sheni that he killed her because she was too liberal. She just wanted to kill the Jews because Nebuchadnezzar didn't want there to be a Malchus. Haman hated the Jews, so she wasn't enough of an anti-Semite for him as much as she was a Russia. So those were the three factors. The Geula was over. The Geula ended. The Geula started again. And we all said, Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh. Yeah.
You say that, in a sense, Vashti wasn't the
Geula.
She may not
have
had this program.
Mean
Neshamayim. Yeah. From the program standpoint, she had to go because she would start this
thing. It could be. It's you know, it's a little bit, there's some of it, I'm trying to stick with what we know. So what we know is that she was killed. Higdil is Haman. I'm not going to go through the whole story, which we can go through every pasuk, and we probably should learn more about Purim before Purim. But just the general story here is that at this time, Vashti was killed. This was a Nes Min HaShemayim, because since Vashti was killed, so Achashverosh is looking for a new queen. And the new queen that was chosen was Esther, as everybody knows. Esther did not tell Achashverosh that she was Jewish because Achashverosh was a terrible anti-Semite. You know, so why didn't he tell her Jewish? Why didn't he want to tell her Jewish? He would have chopped off her head. You're Jewish? You're vermin. That's the way he would have looked at it. We've seen this in our days. Tell them that I'm Jewish. I mean, I'm lucky to be alive. It wasn't some kind of a spiritual strategy. He hated Jews, and Haman was Mamish HaMalek, total annihilation, like total annihilation. She's, you know, by the way, like, you know, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, found out that certain women that they were very attracted to were Jewish, and they killed them. That was what they did. It was like a Isser Gomer for them, Yimach Shemam, to have any kind of affection for a Jewish woman. So, you know, of course he didn't say that she was Jewish. But the story went on. Bishnas Shalosh Lemolcha. It was the third year of the Malchus of Achashverosh. He figures, okay, the 70 years is over. For sure the 70 years is over. He had another cheshbon of the 70 years. And he takes, just like Belshazzar, and this is, he made the comparison. Just like Belshazzar made a suda for everybody because the 70 years is over, a big suda. So Achashverosh makes even a bigger suda. And he takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. You see, we when we read the Megillah, we think it's like a little footnote. How terrible, he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. No, that was the whole tachlis of the Suda. The whole point of the Suda of Achashverosh was to celebrate the end of the 70 years of the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. And the only way to celebrate it correctly is to take out even the nice kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, the same ones that Belshazzar took out. Not the ones that are sitting in Eretz Yisrael, which was a few knives and a few cups and things like that. He took out the Kelim of Beis HaMikdash, and he showed Baharois. He wanted to show Laharois, as Gedol Kvoid Malchusai, I am the Melech. This whole thing of Yirmiyahu is not true. At that point, when he ate from the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, and Vashti ate from the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, as is Mefurish Mikra, Vashti was killed, like Belshazzar was killed, and the story of Bikson Veseresh came out. And Bikson Veseresh, that was a Xeris Misa on Ahasuerus for eating from the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. The Zman of the Geula was not here, yet Hashem was, of course, sowing the seeds for the Geula, but the Zman of the Geula was not here. Mordechai, in his Nevuah, said, when he heard about the Bikson Veseresh situation and the assassination attempt on Ahasuerus, he understood that Mitzad Echad, this is all in Chazal, Mitzad Echad, let him drop dead. Mitzad Sheni, he can be the key to the Geula. And this was Mordechai's thinking, so he saved him, and he saved him, and he got onto the good records of Ahasuerus. He was an activist for Jews, Mordechai. He was known. He was not ashamed of it. He was right out there. Ahasuerus didn't like him. Haman certainly hated him. And he had Hakaras HaToiv, Nadad Oshnas HaMelech, he had Hakaras HaToiv to Mordechai HaYehudi, and he didn't know what to do because he didn't want the Hakaras HaToiv to extend to building the Beis HaMikdash and ending the Golos. He knew that's what Mordechai was going to ask for. So what did he do? He gave him a horse. He asked Haman, what should I do? See, it's a different story. What should I do with Mordechai? I have a Hakar Satoiv to him. Apparently, I read someplace that it was a Persian. Hakar Satoiv was a big thing by the Persians. I don't know if it still lasts till the Iranians today, but this is it. This is the Iranians. This is what we're talking about, Persian Iranians. So Haman said, give him a lot of kavod. That's all. You don't have to let the Jews build the base of Mikdash. Just give him a lot of kavod. So he did. He gave him a lot of kavod, and that was a decoy of building the Beis HaMikdash. Interestingly, and I rush, Esther, Ahasuerus says to Esther, and even at that time, Ahasuerus knew that Esther was associated with Mordechai. That was clear. And Mordechai was talking to her all the time. So he said to Esther, Ma bakasha seich? What is it you want? Ad chatzi hamalchus bateyas. So we look at it. What a romantic statement. Ad chatzi hamalchus. It's half years. So the Gemara, Megillah, chatzi hamalchus v'loi kol hamalchus. Yes, chatzi hamalchus. I think you have the Gemara here. Rabba bar Ufrin Amar Mishum Rabbi Lezer Shishama mi Rabbi v'Rabbi mi Rabbi. What a beautiful lesson in the Gemara. By Yirmila Amelech la Esther Amalka ma ba kasha seich ad chatzi amalchus v'teos chatzi amalchus v'loi kol hamalchus v'loi dover shechoytzeitz l'malchus. Don't do anything which is divisive for my kingdom. I'll give you chatzi amalchus. Chatzi is also a lesson of half and also a lesson of chotzeitz. Something like a mechitza, chotzeitz, o my niu, chatzitza, o my niu, binyan beis hamikdash. Don't go asking me now to build the beis hamikdash. So yes, Esther, I love you, and you're the most beautiful woman in the world, and you'll be my queen, and I'll give you everything that you need, everything you can imagine, but ad chatzi hamalchus, don't ask me for Yerushalayim. Okay, the rest of the story is history. Ahasuerus was eventually killed. Very shortly after he was killed, Dereyavesh II was the son of Esther and Ahasuerus, but now Esther, Ahasuerus wasn't here. Haman was killed, and I'd really like if you'll allow me to continue on Sunday with the real background over here of Haman. I just, time's over. But Dereyavesh became the king of Persia. Dereyavesh II took over from Ahasuerus, who took over from Koresh, who took over from Dereyavesh I. You got it? This was the real 70 years from Shin Lamed Ches that Dereyavesh II took over. 70 years took over. Esther turns to her son, Dereyavesh, and she says to him, turn around this edict. I want you to write, not just that the Jews can be safe, not just that we can fight. I'm telling you, he wasn't going to go against his mother. She was the queen, first of all, she was the queen of Persia. She was the queen of Persia long after Ahasuerus, and she was the queen mother. It's the queen mother, Dariavish's mother. Dariavish, too, was Jewish. The Gemara says, "Kasher mi imay upasal mi aviv." He was a Jew. Dariavish too was a Jew, and he said, and "This is where the second part of Ezra, Mordechai." Had already come back, so let's just do a quick review. The story, there was a false hope in the time of Belshazzar. There was another false hope in the time of Koresh. The hope was dashed. Belshazzar celebrated. Ahasuerus celebrated. Everybody's making a suda with the Kalim at the base of Mikdash, because the Kalim of the Mikdash is the way you celebrate that Yerushalayim, that the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu of 70 years is not coming true. Comes Dariavesh II, Darius II, and he allows for the return of the exiles to Yerushalayim. And this is where the B'nai Yisrael was, that's where the Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah begin, where we come back to Yerushalayim, B'shuv Hashem Shiva Tzion, and we start building a Beis HaMikdash, and eventually, by the way, Dariavesh II was taken over, just this is the end of what I have to say today, Dariavesh II was taken over by Alexander the Great, who was Greek. And he was a son-in-law, actually, of Dariavesh II. But I don't know if that's even so he hated him, or that's why he hated him, unclear to me. But the point is, he was a son-in-law, and his army took over Dariavesh, the palace of Dariavesh II. And that's why Alexander the Great became the most important person at that time in Jewish history, because what's his feeling going to be? But the 70 years Golos was over, Lekula Alma, because if you count from Shin Lamed Ches, from the Chorban, and that was the right thing. The right thing was the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So the story here is that the whole Megillas Esther, Arum and Arum, is all about the Beis HaMikdash. It's not about the story of Esther, it's not the story of Mordechai, it's not the saving of the Jews of Shushan. Those are like parts of the story. The story was about the Beis HaMikdash being Nechrav, the Beis HaMikdash going back. If not for the Purim story, there would be no Bayis Sheni. And Alexander the Great, according to Chazal, came to take a walk and see what's this big to-do about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And he looked, and that story has to continue, and the story of Haman has to continue.